Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it.
Shouts of Grace Center brings you pure and undiluted word of God from the impeccable throne of grace. Be blessed as you listen.
I want to appreciate God for the privilege to come to bring the word of God to you today. I want to appreciate God forever. Let me just say it plainly. You know, when I was growing up, and my mom taught me how to make semo, she would now be in the kitchen with me and be telling me, come and make it in my presence. So I would just be fidgeting, like, can you just leave me alone? I'm going to make it. She would be by my side and like, I'm staying here today. I need you to make it in my presence. So I just have this feeling of daddy is seated today. Then the daughter is talking. Can we shout hallelujah? This is the first time I'm going to be ministry and he'll be seated. So I was just feeling like, how is it going to be? Hallelujah. But I'm here to represent the Lord. I'm here to be his mouthpiece this evening. I want us to pray some prayers before I begin to share the word of God with us. And I want to try as much as I can to transmit the body unto us. I believe that is going to open us up to the reality of what the word is going to be presenting to us today. Presently, we are in Ibadan. We're working around secondary schools. I want to celebrate everyone for being around for this event. The Lord will bless you in Jesus' name. Of course, God has an appointment with your destiny. That is why you're here. And I know God is going to do something that will be life transforming for you in Jesus' name. I can just start. I've been going for programs until a particular program I went for. And I got back home and I couldn't kiss my boyfriend anymore. I got back home broken. I got back home and I was just set. Like, even if I have to quit, that is the only thing I'm going to do. You know, if it has not happened on your inside, you cannot do it outside. You can be making rules for yourself. You can be making resolutions. But until the Spirit of God come upon you and hit you hard, you don't get back home and trash them. But tonight, that will be your testimony in Jesus' name. I want us to be able to have question and answer session. So I'm just going to do a little bit of my teaching. Then if there is enough time, while I'm answering question and answer, then I can begin to add in some other points. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 6:18-20. 1 Corinthians 6:18-20. I'm going to read from here. I'm going to be reading the Message version. And I said to myself, we are word people. We know every scripture. But the only thing we need is the capacity to do. So I'm going to be sticking with this scripture. 1 Corinthians 6:18-20. I'm going to read the Message version. There is more to sex than mere skin on skin. Sex is as much spiritual mystery as physical fact. As written in the scripture, the two become one. Since we want to become spiritually one with the Master, we must not pursue the kind of sex that avoids commitment and intimacy, leaving us more lonely than ever. The kind of sex that can never become one. There's a sense in which sexual sins are different from all others. In sexual sin, we violate the sacredness of our own bodies. These bodies that were made for God-given and God-modeled love, for becoming one with another. Or didn't you realize that your body is a sacred place, the place of the Holy Spirit? Don't you see that you can't live however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? The physical part of you is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual part of you. God owns the whole works. So let people see God in and through your body. I'm going to read NLT version. NLT. And it says, run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, For God bought you with a price, a high price. So you must honor God with your body. Hallelujah. If you're following, can you shout hallelujah? Now I want to read the TPT version. That is the Passion Translation. This is why you must keep running away from sexual immorality. For every other sin a person commits is external to the body, but immorality involves sinning against your own body. Have you forgotten that your body is now the sacred temple of the Spirit of holiness, who lives in you? You don't belong to yourself anymore, any longer. For the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside your sanctuary. You were God's expensive purchase. You were God's expensive purchase, paid for with tears of blood. So by all means, then use your body to bring glory to God. Hallelujah. This is the scripture that did it for me. When I had my struggles keeping, you know, my body pure, having a sexually pure relationship, this is the scripture that I read one day, and the light just came on my spirit. It was not deep, it was not rhema. It was a touch of the spirit on me. And this scripture just came with light. And I began to read and read and read again. And I started confessing it to myself. Can't you see? You have been bought by the blood of Christ. Can't you see? And it just, like, my eyes just opened. And that was the very moment that made the turnaround for me and my destiny. Now, let me quickly go to my notes. From the morning session, we were taught about building intimacy with the Holy Spirit and how our relationship with the Holy Spirit interplays with our relationship with our spouses. I would like to start on that note. So now that you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you, you are a believer, you have given your life to Christ, you are now walking in the Spirit, you are speaking in tongues, you have a fellowship with the Lord. So now, you are a human being, and a being with the spirit, soul, and the body. You have a soul, you have your spirit, and you have your body. I'm going somewhere on that point. With your body, you can interact with the physical world. With your spirit, you can connect with the Lord. You can interact with the spirit, and you can commune with God. Let me take that again. You have your body. As I'm standing here, you're seeing my body. You cannot see my spirit, and you cannot see my soul. But as I'm standing, as you're seated, you have your body, your spirit, and your soul. I'm going somewhere, and I want you to hang on with me. This is the major reason why your body is very important to God. Why? Because your body houses your spirit. Your spirit is on the inside. You cannot see your spirit, you cannot see your soul. The soul is the seat of emotions, how we feel, how we express our emotions, your love and sexual feelings, and all other emotions, anger, bitterness, grief, and all of that. So now the soul is the seat of the emotion. Now your body is the vehicle. Your body is the house. Your body is the container. Your body is the sanctuary of God. So now your spirit is on the inside of your body. And with your spirit, you are communicating with God. I'm telling you why your body is so important to God. Your body houses your spirit and your soul. And with your spirit, you interact, connect, and commune with God. Now, your spirit is in your body. So there is no how you are going to use this, your body, outside of your spirit. Hope I've not lost anyone. Are we together? If you know I'm making sense, can I see you wave your hands to the Lord? So now, you cannot say, I want to have sex with my husband now. Let my spirit come outside. Stay here. I don't want you to be contaminated. My soul, come. Sit here. I don't want you to be contaminated. I just want to use this, my body. It doesn't work like that. You are a human being with a spirit, the soul, and the body. And with your body, you interact with the Lord. I'll keep on repeating this sentence, this statement. With your spirit, you interact with the Lord. You connect with the spirit. You commune with God. It is with your spirit. The Bible says God is spirit, and those who worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. So now, I've been talking about God's view about sex, how to live a sexually pure life, and how to have a sexually pure relationship. I'm going to be reading Hebrews 13:4. Hebrews 13:4. I'm going to use the TPT version, which is the Passion Translation. And it says, honor the sanctity of marriage and keep your vows of purity to one another. For God will judge sexually immorality in any form, whether being a single or a married person. Now, one major point I want to bring out from these scriptures is that your work onto sexual purity starts from you. It starts with you. It starts ever before you can begin to think about relationship. It is about you first. You have the vow to God that I'm going to keep myself according to your word, that I'm going to honor my body with God, that I'm going to give honor to God with my body. It starts with you already. It is not the moment you have a relationship, then you begin to have a conversation with your partner and you want to come to an agreement as to whether to have sex or not to have sex. Am I making sense? It is not the day you want to enter into a relationship that you begin to think of, am I going to be kissing there? Am I going to be doing caressing, smooching? Am I going to be fingering, you know? Are we going to be doing all of that? You must have made that decision long time ago. The decision begins with you. So now when you want to join yourself with a relationship, you cannot begin to bring your convictions to bear. You don't just walk into a relationship with no vows of purity. Hallelujah. It must have started with you. And now I want to talk about sexual intimacy. I deliberately want to talk about it because one of the students asked me and said, have you had sex before? I wish I was able to see the question before I left the school. I would have made a drama for them. I love young people. I would have told them sex feels so good. Can the married people shout hallelujah? Hallelujah. Married people, can you shout hallelujah? Sex feels good, right? Sex feels good. It is sweet. Can the married people shout hallelujah? I'm trying to be spiritual. Amen. In Genesis 2:23-25, I'm not going to read because of my time. It is so clearly stated, sexual intimacy between a husband and a wife. Simply. As much as sex is good, it's a gift from God, it is sweet. God wants us to enjoy it. But now, within the confines of marriage, God wants us to have sex with our spouses, your husband and your wife. That is the plan of God. And now, I wrote on my Facebook this afternoon, I said, with the high rate of sexual perversion and the gross impatience from our youth, I'm now seeing so many married people that are married and they are not having sex. So I'm asking myself, I thought when we are married, we're going to be having sex every day, 60 minutes, you know, 7 days in a week, 31 days in a month. I thought we're going to be having sex everywhere. You know, we're not even go out. Just stay. But that is not the reality. When you're still single, the devil wants you to believe that you cannot hold. He wants you to believe you don't have the capacity to stay. He wants you to believe if you're not having sex, you're dead. It's going to affect your health. It's going to affect your relationships. You just have to give in. But that is not true. That is one major lie of the devil I've noticed in counseling married people. That when you were young, when you were single, you were having sex, you couldn't hold your body. The moment both of you come together, you just want to touch, just want to roll on the bed. But you're married now. I'm so sure everyone can attest to it. So many married people with sexual problems, they will just come and say, I'm not having sex with my husband. I'm not having sex with my wife. What is the problem? Begin to give you, the details of the problem. But in all, I see the devil bringing impatience to come and settle on your spirit. And you begin to feel like, I can't just wait. I can't just wait for this. I can't just suspend my sexual gratification. I just want it now. But when you're married, no matter how good you are on the bed, you can't do it every day. You can't do it every day. Sexual intimacy is God's plan for sexual intercourse. I'm going to be fast. You will agree with me that someone can actually have sex with another person without open heart connection or without emotional intimacy with the person. Somebody said, I had sex with him. And I asked, what is the name of the person? He said, I can't even tell his name. I know his name, but I can't remember his son's name. That is not the plan of God. The plan of God is sexual intercourse should be sexual intimacy. And intimacy means, I love somebody. Somebody said, intimacy is into me, see. Into me, see. So it's not only about my body. There's the heart connection. There's the openness. There's the mutual vulnerability. There's an open sharing. That is what intimacy is all about. I greatly love the definition of intimacy that says it means into me, see. Intimacy therefore denotes mutual vulnerability, openness, and sharing. Two married partners do not just live with each other. They live in each other. This is my understanding about sex when I got married. After my first experience with sex with my husband, I just told him, I said, this thing is too spiritual. Like, you can't just do it outside of marriage. Like, after sex, you can just slip off. You can even be calling Jesus right there. We are spiritual. Why is the church so quiet? Are we in church? Are we in church? Like, there's no guilt. There is no shame. You can just slip on. And I remember my first experience. Somebody was saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can the church shout hallelujah? Why? Because when you have sexual intercourse inside of marriage, there is a joy. There is a peace. There is no guilt. There is no shame. There is no fear of STDs. There is no fear of being jilted. There is no fear of pregnancy. There is no fear of my mom coming to, working in on me. There is no fear at all. That is the kind of sex that God wants us to have. Sex you're going to have, you don't need to wake up the following day and begin to say, God, please forgive me for sleeping with my husband. Lord, can you wash me with the holy water? There's nothing like that. I could remember, I'm actually painting this picture because I want us to see sexual intimacy in the context of marriage. Maybe when we have this understanding, we can begin to look forward to it. Because when you can't look forward into it, you want to have it now. So now, we're doing Bible study one day and, the Holy Ghost just came down. We're reading the Bible. My husband was dishing out the word, and suddenly I was looking into his eyes. Yes, I can say it anywhere, that spiritual intimacy builds emotional intimacy and it builds sexual intimacy in marriage. The Holy Spirit of God is interested in our romance and everything. So look forward to that. So I was looking into his eyes and he was looking at me and I was looking into his eyes. I just closed my Bible and God was telling me, enjoy. Enjoy. God is not going to close his eyes when you're having intercourse with your spouse. The Holy Spirit will not say, I'm abandoning your destiny now because you want to have sex. God is going to be there and be looking at me like, come on now, do it well. Because inside of marriage, it is a sin not to even have sex. And this is the wisdom and the joy for the singles. The same God that says, hold. Do not have sex before marriage. It's the same God that says, you are married, you must have sex. It is even a sin not to have sex. Because the Bible says you must not deny your spouse of sexual intercourse. Somebody is really, really laughing out there. It is a sin not to have sex inside of marriage. It is a sin. You can't just say, I'm not going to have sex with my husband today. He has made me angry. There's no sex. I'm going to starve him for like 1 month or 1 week. God is against it. God wants us to have enough of it. God wants us to have sex. You can even be having sex and be praying in tongues. That is what you should look forward to. Hallelujah. Can I hear the shout hallelujah? Sex is for intimacy. I want you to note that. Sex is for intimacy. God deliberately, you know, designed sex for us so it can make us to bond. Of all the relationships on earth, the most intimate relationship God has ordained should be the one between the husband and the wife. And that is why the Bible was able to, you know, God was able to use the relationship between the husband and the wife to, you know, to be compared with the relationship between the Christ and the church. Because it's supposed to be the highest form of intimate relationship. And that is why God made sex. Sex should be for intimacy. Sex should be for comfort. I love the story of Isaac. The Bible said when Isaac got married to Rebecca, even though I do say that you must be able to be whole before you go into marriage. You must be whole before you go into relationship. You must get rid of any issue you're having, possibly your emotional issues. Make sure you settle it before you enter into marriage. But as the Lord would have it, when Isaac got married to Rebecca and they had sex, the Bible said his heart was comforted. And that is one magic that sex will do for you inside of marriage. Comfort. Somebody said, if your husband has lost his job and is back home with a letter in his hand, just tell him, drop the letter. Just take him to have his bath. Then you have sex. And the person said, why? Because that joblessness can crush the ego of that man, his self-worth. But when you make love with him, you begin to feel on top. That person is talking about the wisdom in sexual intimacy. Now, another thing is heart bonding and fellowship. Heart bonding and fellowship. Like my husband was sharing in the morning, the Holy Spirit of God interplays in our marriage. When I'm not observing my fellowship with the Lord as I should, you know, I get cranky. I just don't want to talk. I don't want to play. I easily get angry like that. But when my relationship with the Holy Spirit of God is intact, when my fellowship is okay, I pray as I should, read the word, make confessions, speak in tongues, there's always this joy that the Spirit of God supplies. And anything he says, I'm just ready. But when that one is affected, there is no how there can be joy and free flow of love in the home. Another one is procreation. Procreation to make babies. Then the last one I have here is pleasure and fun. God wants us to have pleasure. You know, sometimes when you're in your home and you and your spouse, everywhere is just quiet. Just kickstart something. What can you kickstart? You make love. That is what God wants you to look forward to. Is anybody excited in this house? Now, I want to talk about sexual purity. Sexual purity means having sexual relationship or engaging in sexual activities according to God's standard. Sexual purity means having sexual relations or engaging sexual activities according to God's standard. It involves being pure in your spirit. It involves being pure in your body. It involves being pure in your soul. Now, when we talk about sexual perversion or impure sex, what do we mean? I'm going to read from my notes so that I can just be snappy with it. Sexual perversion or impure sex, it involves all kinds of sexual behavior, habits, and attitude against God's standard. Sexual habits, behavior, and attitude against the standard of God. Like I mentioned before, sexual relation is designed to be done between a husband and a wife, not a boyfriend and a girlfriend. You know, so many of us were laughing when the drama was going on, but that's the truth. You can't be a tongue-speaking believer, a lover of God, and you value your soul, and you be in a relationship, and you be having sex like a married person should. There should be that pruning in the spirit. There should be that turning in your heart. Like, this is not right, I need to put an end to it. Now, God has not made sex to be done between a female and another female. Even in our secondary schools, it's becoming so pronounced. We are seeing girls coming out to say, I'm a lesbian. And there is no shame about it. Even believers in the church, they would come and they would be telling me I'm a lesbian. Somebody was trying to ask me to join lesbianism. And the person was telling me I'm so beautiful and slim and good that the person wants me to be a lesbian friend. It is so common. Somebody said a pastor's wife was being invited to come and join a lesbian group. That is what our generation is turning into. And I believe God is raising an army against this vice in Jesus' name. It is not to be done between a man and a man. It is not meant to be done between a man and a man. And I want to say this. Possibly you have any history of being sexually abused when you were very young. Please do not brush it under the carpet. If you know, I had this experience when I was growing up, and I think it's kind of resurfacing. It's kind of affecting my sexual life. Please speak up. Thank God for the kind of man God has given you in this place. Talk to Reverend. Just speak up. Get help. Because marriage is not going to solve all your sexual problems. Don't ever think about it, that the moment I get married, I won't masturbate again. My wife, my husband will be there. It is a lie. You are not going to get it every time you want it from your spouse. There were times I wanted it, my husband was not ready. There were times he wanted it, I was not ready. Maybe I'm sick, maybe I'm just tired, maybe because of health. There was a time I wasn't able to have sex for like a month. And he didn't die. Why? Because God has put this urge in our bodies. He wants us to learn how to contain and control. I was thinking, how come God didn't put this urge in us after we are married? How come? Because he has the power to do it. But God decided, I'm going to put the urge in you, even as a single. Why? Because he wants us to learn how to contain and control. This is the season where we can learn how to contain and control our urges. If you cannot control your urge as a single, you are going to experience problems inside of your marriage. That is why we see more people who are sleeping with their gardener, people who sleep with their house help. I've seen fathers who rape their daughters. In Lagos, I think about some months ago, a student told us a father raped her and the elder sister. The father raped her and the elder sister. God wants us to learn how to contain and to control. And that is why you are experiencing the urge now. If you have never felt urge in your body, can you shout hallelujah? You have never felt it. You have never felt urge. Can you shout hallelujah? Wow. So you are not spiritual people. Praise the Lord. God wants us to have it so we can learn how to contain and how to control it. So now you are experiencing it and you feel like, God, why did you put this urge here? I'm not talking about the one you ignite by watching pornography. No. I'm not talking about the urge, you ignite by yourself by watching, or by reading sexually testing games, movies, and all of that. I'm not talking about those ones. I'm talking about what that comes naturally. It just comes naturally like that. And you know it naturally. That's the one I'm talking about. Sex is not to be done between a human being and an animal, bestiality. You might be wondering, why is she telling us all of this? It is happening. I've seen a lot. A lot. In fact, I've seen a lot beyond my age. Not two some, not three some. Not between multiple partners. Not adultery. Not between blood relatives. This one is becoming so common. And I'm seeing it in all the schools, campuses that I've been going to. I see people coming out telling me I'm having sex with my brother. I'm seeing people coming out and saying my father is sleeping with me. My mother, one guy said my mother slept with me for close to 80 years of my life. This is not the plan of God. Sex is a beautiful gift. God wants it to be done, between a husband and a wife. Not to be done by yourself, with yourself, and for yourself. That is what we call solo sex. God doesn't want you to just lock up yourself in the room and you begin to give yourself satisfaction. It is not the plan of God. The plan of God is that you are going to have a partner, somebody God has ordained with you. And you can begin to explore with the person. Not by yourself and on your own. That was why he made us pray that prayer. That God will break the backbone of immorality in our lives in the name of Jesus. Not to be done forcefully with anyone. And I have a word of comfort for some people here. Possibly you have been raped. I've counseled thousands of people. Raped. Sexually battered. Recently, a girl told me she was raped in December by three guys. And she's a secondary school student. And I told my husband, some guys are somewhere waiting to marry virgins. Where will they come from? If we don't arise now, I read in the newspaper that a 6-month-old baby was raped by an adult. The family is trying to gather about 3 million naira now for vagina surgery. Sex is not meant to be done like that. So if you have been raped, one thing I want to say is this, you have not called for it. You need to forgive yourself. The fact that you have been raped does not mean everything is over with you. No. God is still interested in you. He wants you to turn the pieces back over to Him. He wants to make something out of that, your situation. He wants to give you oil of joy. He wants to give you beautiful ashes. God wants to give you a new beginning. And He wants you to stop scolding yourself, you know, telling yourself, I shouldn't have gone there. Maybe I'm the reason why, you know, why they raped me. Maybe because of the way I dressed. Maybe because of the way I went to his house. I've seen so many people, you know, live the entire part of their lives blaming themselves for all these things. I'm the one that caused it. I should have screamed. I shouldn't have gone. I shouldn't have collected his money. But it's not only the girls that have been raped. Even the guys that have been raped. If you have any sexual issues, please you need to talk. Not to be done orally, on the phone. And I must mention this one. It's becoming so common too. Having sex on the phone. In fact, it disgusts me. How can somebody pick up the phone? Somebody tried it on me when I was in the university. I think when I was 7. And the person picked the phone up and was telling me, Esther, how are you doing? I'm holding your leg now. I'm rubbing your leg. I'm touching your head. I didn't even know what the guy was trying to do. And he said, Esther, are you feeling the heat? I'm rubbing you. I said, you don't ever in your life call my number again. Phone sex is becoming so common too. This is not the way God has ordained it. Now, sending nude pictures. When we are talking about this, some people are like, oh, we don't do it in church. We do it. But God is not condemning us. But God wants us to see the value He has placed on our lives. And we begin to arise with that honor and do what is right. In 2019, I and my husband, we handled 3 cases of ladies that sent their nude pictures to their boyfriends. So one of them, she went for a program and she gave her life to Christ. So she called the guy up. I've given my life to Christ. I'm starting a new beginning. I don't want to be part of this ungodly relationship anymore. And the guy said, no. You don't do that. We must continue. And the lady was insisting, I'm born again. I can't do this anymore. And the guy said, there's no problem. Just go to Facebook tomorrow morning by 11 a.m. You're going to see all of your pictures, your nude videos that you sent to me. 3 cases like that. It was just God that helped us, that were able to resolve those issues. And I was thinking, like, how could you just undress yourself? And you'll be snapping your nude and you'll be sending it. This is not a Muslim, tongue-speaking Christians. You snap your nude and you send it. My husband will say, God will forgive you all of your sins. But the internet will never forget it. Because the moment you're uploading, somebody is downloading it. Even when you repent of your sins, somebody can still bring it up later. That is why we cannot be careless with our present time. Because we don't even know how much God has laid in store for us for the future. You don't want to get into your future. Somebody just pop up your past nude pictures, your videos. How many people are you going to explain to? I'm not born again. I did it when I was crazy. Hallelujah. I want us to write this 7 points down. Then we'll pray. And maybe we can have the question and answer. Then I'll begin to touch on other areas. Why do I need to run from sexual immorality? Why do I need to run from sexual immorality? Number one, the Holy Spirit of God needs your body. The Holy Spirit needs your body. We are the hands of God to heal the sick. We are the legs of God to go to places. We are the one, the carriers of the anointing of God to do exploits in our days. So God needs our bodies. He needs your spirit. He needs you to do something for Him. And you're going to be containing the power of God on your inside. And your spirit is in your body. So God needs your body. That is why you need to run from immorality. Number two. Are we writing? Number two. It is a command. God has commanded, flee fornication and all appearance of evil. God is saying to you, you don't do it now. Just give it a little time. Just wait. Just wait for it. It is worth waiting for. Number three. Sexual intimacy creates a bond between a man and a woman. Sexual intimacy creates a bond between a man and a woman. And it builds you physically, emotionally, and spiritually into one flesh. Let me explain. The plan of God was that when we have sexual intimacy, it is going to be like a bond between us. A bond between us. God wanted to create a bond between the husband and the wife. If you have had sex before, you'll be able to relate to what I'm saying. Now you've had sex with about 2-3 people. Somehow you notice sometimes there's that thing in you that reaches out to those people. I've seen people who say, okay, I just accidentally, reconnected with my ex. And the moment I saw my ex, we're looking into each other's eyes and we just started it again. What happened? It's not supposed to be there. It's supposed to have stopped. What happened to me? Why? Because God made sex to be like a glue, a bond. God wants it to bond us. God wanted to bring heart-to-heart connection. Number 4, God desire oneness. The Bible said Adam and Eve, they were naked, they were not ashamed. There was oneness, there was openness and bonding. Now the last one. For your own benefit, you can write down Job 22:2-3. For your own benefit, read Job 22:2-3. It is saying that God wants to protect you from harm. God wants to keep you for the good he has planned for your life. Jeremiah 29:11. God wants to preserve you from his own righteous judgment that awaits sinners. It is not honorable. When unbelievers are going through punishment of their sins of disobedience, and you will not find believers too, being partakers of the punishment of the end time. We know we are on the journey to the end time. And the coming of the Lord is near. He does not want believers to be part of the destructions and the wrath to come. He wants us to be separated. He wants us to keep our vessels in holiness. The last one, God wants to show you, he wants to show you forth as his product sample. Not everybody is having sex. The moment you join them, not everybody is having sex. Not everybody is fornicating. Not everybody is masturbating. Not everybody is fornicating. Not everybody is watching porn. There are some believers that are still standing in God, and God wants you to be there. Can you tell your neighbor, God wants you to be there. God wants you to be one of them. Purity is power. That's my last point. Why you should run away from sexual immorality. Purity is power. In holiness, you can do things for the kingdom. In holiness, you can do exploits. I remember when I was, I think it was after my youth service. I was in a relationship, and I actually told the brother there was not going to be sex, and he agreed. Then during the course of the relationship, we started kissing, we started touching each other's private organs, and I got back to church one day, I was in a choir, and the choir mistress gave me the microphone, Esther, come and sing. I just felt somebody told me, you're unworthy, you're dirty, just step back. We didn't have sex. But we did what I call 80%. 80% means you have done all except penetration. So that was what we did. And to collect microphone to go and minister, I couldn't do it. The guilt. That's what the devil wants to do. He knows the capacity of God on your inside. He knows your giftings, your power, what you can do to his kingdom if you get it right. Then he wants to look for something to block your mouth so you don't come to get to the stage. And I didn't see this kind of future then. The only thing I saw was I wanted to graduate, get a job, and roll on with my life. I didn't see ministry. So the lady said, come and sing. And I was like, I can't sing. Then the Holy Spirit told me, then you can ask me for forgiveness. I'll never go back again. Then I knelt down at the back of the church. I started crying. God, I've been a dirty virgin. I've been doing everything aside penetration. God, just come and have mercy on me. Today I received the grace. There was this anger in my inside. Like, I can't just continue to be like this. Who am I deceiving? You're not having sex, but you're doing every other thing. I cried there. I prayed and I stood up. And when I met my husband, I met him as a whole made woman. He didn't kiss me. He wouldn't even kiss me because I wouldn't let him kiss me. Something has happened to my spirit. Something has happened to my spirit. So when we started our courtship, there were a number of things that we did that helped us not to fall into immorality during our courtship, because there is no how your body will kind of, request for it. I can't say there was no desire to kiss. I can't say there was no desire to hug him. When I hugged him, there was a day I hugged him and he was telling me, and I looked at him and said, what? I said, your hug is getting too tight. There is hug. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And the other day I went to his house and he wanted to greet me and he hugged me too. And he was holding me. I was even enjoying the hug actually. My spirit was pure. I was enjoying the hug and I remember like, this is not supposed to be. If I continue to hug and hug, it can progress to something else. And I also did the same thing. Back to sender. Praise the Lord. Now write these 7 points in my 1 minute. So when we are having a question and answer, I can touch on other things. You see, I'm just trying to rush. Now, there were certain things we did that helped us. Unlike all my past ungodly relationships, my relationship with my husband was a pure courtship. It was pure. Because I got it right before he came on board. God dealt with me, and he also shared with me, God dealt with him as well. By the time he came to me, he didn't come to shatter me. He didn't come to destroy me. Because like I said, you cannot carry all your sexual problems into relationship, thinking relationship is going to help you to solve it. It doesn't work like that. Now, number one thing we did, I made the decision. So you make the decision. It is inside marriage, nothing else. And all other issues, masturbation, pornography, it is not. I believe the yoke is already broken in this house. What you need to do is to walk in the spirit. Read the word of God into your spirit. Confess the word of God. Put your hairpiece on. Put gospel music. Be worshiping God round the clock. Feed your spirit with the word of God. Have accountability partners. People you can just share with. Hello friend, I'm having urge now and I don't want to masturbate. I said, let me tell you. And let your friend pray with you. You should have somebody like that. Not a friend that the only thing they want to ask you to do is to just go after immorality. Number two, make your relationship open. Make it open, not the relationship. See, all the relationships I did and it was ungodly, it was because nobody knew about them. I started it on my own. Let me say it in Yoruba, like I got it, I finished everything. Nobody knew about the relationship. You cannot be in a secret relationship and you want to do it right. You don't have the capacity to do it. Kissing is not manageable. Let's just be kissing. Let's just be hugging. Let's just be... Kissing is not manageable. You can hug, actually, but I tell you, there is hug. There is hug. Accountability. Be accountable to your mentors. That was what helped us in our journey, that we were able to save this, the keys for the wedding. I mean, save the keys for the wedding. So not to talk of any other thing. The first kiss was done on our wedding day. The first kiss was done on our wedding day at the reception. But with the other guys, I was not able to do it. But with the Son of God who carries the Holy Ghost on his inside, I was able to do it. Accountability. Number five, have a model couple. You can't be in a courtship. You don't have a model couple you can go to spend time with. Spend time with your model couple. Who is the couple that you see them? They are modeling Christ-centered home. Go and visit such people. The next one, plan your visits. Like the drama we watched now, you can't just go there on no purpose. You are there, there is nothing to do. It's not like as we're meeting today, we're going to be gisting, we're going to be talking, we're going to be praying, we're going to have Bible study. We did Bible study during our courtship. Bible study. That was when I knew my husband is loaded with rima. Do Bible study, plan your meeting, have some boundaries. Like the sister that was seated, the brother was touching her, you know, looking her all over. You can already know when you are in courtship and the brother is looking you, the sister is looking you all over. You should know that I need to go now. Can I just leave now? Praise the Lord. During the question and answer, I'll be sharing some other things. Can we just lift our hands up? I say, God, I receive grace to do. All I just need is the grace to do. It's not because I don't know what to do. All I just need is the grace to do. The grace to stand, the grace to hold on. All I just need is the grace. Can you say, Lord, I receive the grace. Lord, I receive the power to do. Lord, I receive the grace. Let your fire burn my heart. Let the anger come on me. The anger to say, I can no longer do this. I can no longer do what is wrong. I want to do what is right. I want to stand for God. I want to make it to the end. Receive the grace in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, Lord, I stand as one has received help of you. And I pray for my sisters and my brothers. No more are you in the yoke of immorality in the name of Jesus. You will walk in the spirit. You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. May the love of God come afresh on your inside. May the love for righteousness eat your heart up in the name of Jesus. May the Lord Jesus begin to do a mighty work on your inside. And he begin to do it in the inside of your partner in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Abba Father, for we believe you're going to raise us a sexually pure generation in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of the message. We believe you've been blessed. Join us at Shouts of Grace Center on Sundays and Wednesdays at Keke Plaza, Ibadan. God bless you.